Good morning, Pilgrim. It's me again. I'm going to take up where we left off yesterday. The questions, whom shall I send? Who'll go for us? Yeah, messenger. Messenger is wanted. Messenger is needed. Are you going to go? What are we looking for? The person wanted is viewed from two points. He has a character bearing two aspects. The person wanted has a divine side. Whom shall I send? Then he has a human aspect. Who'll go for us? But the two meet together. The human and the divine unite in the last words. For us. Here's a man, nothing more than a man of human instincts, but clad through divine grace with superhuman, even with divine authority. Let us look then at this two-sided person. He's divinely chosen. Whom shall I send? As if in the eternal council he had been chosen. Who shall be a chosen man? Who shall be the object of my eternal love? And in consequence thereof shall have this grace given him, that he should tell to others the unsearchable riches of Christ. God chose people. Beloved, what a mercy it is to us who are believers that to us this is no more a question. For sovereignty has pitched upon us an eternal mercy, not for anything good in us, but simply because God would have it so. He has selected us that we may bring forth fruit unto his name. As we hear the question, let us listen to the Savior's exposition of it. Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. It's from the fountain of election that all mercies spring. You may always trace the rivulets and the brooks of loving kindness up to the overflowing wellhead of everlasting love, to Jesus himself. You'll find every streamlet. Yea, every drop of covenant grace comes springing up from the mighty deeps of the eternal, the immutable decree of God the Father concerning his chosen ones and the mercy in the person of Christ Jesus. The workers for the living God are a people chosen by the Most High. He sends whom he wills. He makes choices of this man and not another, and in every case exercises his own sovereign will. He gives no account of his matters, but answers once for all to every carping criticism. May not I do as I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? This question indicates a person cheerfully willing. And this is what I meant by the human side of the messenger. Who'll go for us? The man sought for is one who will go with a ready mind. There were no need to ask him who'll go. If a mere slave or machine without a will could be sent, the purpose of God doesn't violate the free agency or even the free will of man. No, he doesn't send machines. Man is saved by the will of God, but man is made willing to be so saved. The fault is not in the hyper-Calvinist that he insists upon sovereignty, nor the Arminian that he is so violent for free agency. The fault is in both of them, because they can't see more truths than one. And they don't admit that truth is not the exclusive property of either, for God is a sovereign. At the same time, man is a responsible free agent. Many among us are perpetually seeking to reconcile truths which probably never can be reconciled except in God's mind. I thank God that I believe many things which I don't wish to understand. I'm weary, sick of arguing, understanding or misunderstanding. I find it true rest and joy like a little child to believe what God has revealed and to let others do all the puzzling and all the reasoning. If I could comprehend the whole of Revelation, I could scarcely believe it to be divine. But inasmuch as many of its doctrines are too deep for me, and the whole scheme is too vast to be reduced to a system, I thank and I bless God that He has deigned to display before me a revelation far exceeding my poor limited abilities. I believe that every man who has Jesus has Him as a matter of his own choice. It's true, it is caused by grace, but it is there. It's there. Ask any man whether he is a Christian against his will. He'll tell you, certainly not, for he loves the Lord, and he delights in his law after the inward man. Thy people are not led unwillingly to thee in chains, O Jesus, but thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. We willingly choose Christ, because he has from of old chosen us. In a matter of holy work, every man who becomes a worker for Jesus is so because he was chosen to work for him. But he would be a very poor worker if he himself had not chosen to work for Jesus. I can say that I believe God ordained me to preach the gospel and that I preach it by his will, but I am sure I preach it with my own. For it is to me the most delightful work in all the world, and if I could exchange with an emperor, I would not consent to be so lowered. To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ is one of the sweetest and the noblest employments, and even an angel might desire to be engaged in it. The true worker for God must be impelled by divine election, but yet he must make, and will make, by divine grace, his own election of his work. So here are the persons wanted. Are there not many such persons here this morning who feel God has chosen me to do something for him? Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But who, on the other hand, can testify, I choose the work too. For Christ's sake, whether it be teaching in the Sabbath school, or tract distribution, or talking to ones or twos or whatever it may be, my God, I choose the vocation. Help me to follow it heartily. For it is my delight to do thy will, O God. Here's the divine side then. The man is chosen, but there is also the human side. The man is led to choose the engagement for himself. The two meet together in this. The man is sent by the three in one, who here asks, who will go for us? Every faithful Christian laborer labors for God. Brethren, when we tell others the story of the cross, we speak for God the Father. It's through our lips that the prodigal son must be reminded that the hired servants have bread enough and to spare. It may be through us that he will be shown his rags, his disgrace. Through us, he will discover more clearly the disgrace of feeding swine. The Spirit of God is the efficient agent, but it is by us that he may work. It is by us that the Divine Father falls upon the neck of his prodigal child. He does it, but it is through the teaching of his word in some form or other. The promises are spoken by our lips. The sweet invitations are delivered by our tongue. We, as though God did beseech them, by us are to pray them in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. God the Father says to you, my dear hearers, you know and love him. Will you go for me and be an ambassador for me? Nor must we forget our tender Redeemer. He is no more. He is not here, for he is risen. He will come again, but meanwhile he asked for someone to speak for him. Someone to tell Jerusalem that her iniquity is forgiven, to tell his murderers that he prays for them, Father, forgive them, to assure the blood-bought that they are redeemed, to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of the prison doors to them that are bound. Jesus, from his throne of glory, says, who will go for me and be a speaker for me? Moreover, that blessed Spirit under whose dispensational power we live at the present hour He has no voice to speak the sons of men audibly except by his people. And though he works invisibly and mysteriously in the saints, yet he chooses loving hearts and compassionate lips and tearful eyes to be the means of benediction. The Spirit descends like the cloven tongue, but he sits upon disciples. There is no resting place for the Spirit of God nowadays within walls. And even the heaven of heavens contain him not, but he enthrones himself within his people. He makes us God-bearers, and he speaks through us, as through a trumpet to the sons of men, so that the adorable Trinity cry to you, ye blood-bought, blood-redeemed sons of God, and say, are you seeking to promote our glory? Are you affecting our purposes? Are you winning those purchased by our eternal sacrifice? Turning to the church here assembled, the Lord pronounces those ancient questions, whom shall I send and who'll go for us? I was very pleased yesterday in looking over a certificate of membership which I had received from a church in New York concerning one of its members who was a sailor. I was pleased to observe that at the back of the certificate there were directions given to the member, and the first one was this. You are to remember that as a member of this church going upon a voyage, you are sent by us as a missionary. You are to understand that you and every other member of the church are bound to spread abroad the Savior's name. Such sentiments are not only right, but which we desire to enforce constantly. We would say to every church member, come, come. You are not to employ a minister to do your work for you. You are not merely to give your half guinea or whatever it may be to the missionary society and say, I'm done at all. No, but you are to answer this question for yourself. Will you go for God? Do you feel that you are sent by him, not to India, not to Jamaica, not to the South Seas it may be, but into those streets of your town, into that court where you live? Will you go among those cottages where you dwell or down in that street where you reside? Will you go for God, feeling that God chose you and that you chose his work cheerfully and that now, by the grace of God, while you live and until you die, you'll deliver the message of the great salvation which Jesus Christ has provided for the sons of men? Will you, pilgrim? Will you? I'll continue with this next time. Meanwhile, think on these things. Will you answer the call? Will you open your mouth? Will you give out the word to your neighbor, to your friend, to your family, to your brother, to your sister? Think on this. It's important. God bless, pilgrim. Have a blessed day. Blessed day with our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do his work while you can.